Thanks.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve is Wimbledon tennis. First round action began Monday at the prestigious grass court tournament. Africa's big hope in women's singles is the player nicknamed Tunisia's Minister of Happiness, 2022 Wimbledon finalist Ons Jabeur.
I think it's good to have that confidence to be in the Wimbledon final, experience all the great things that I had last year. Obviously, I believe our side of the draw kind of tough, you know, everybody is there. So it's going to be very tough. But again, take it one step at a time and see what's going to happen. But, you know, that's how Grand Slams work. You know, you need a good draw from here, a nice match from here. You fight from there. So and see what's going to happen.
Jabeur talks about how her side of the draw is very tough. It has world number one Iga Świątek of Poland, who won her third French Open title last month, world number two Arina Sabalenka of Belarus, who won the Australian Open earlier this year, and world number three Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan, the defending Wimbledon women's champion. Jabeur is currently ranked number six in the world.
I think it makes sense to have the big three, you know, right now with them, because obviously you can see the result they've been having this year. Also from last year, they completely deserve to be there. And I think for me, it's inspiring, you know, to see them doing great, and you can learn a lot from them. And again, they can push me or other players behind in the ranking to do better. You can see them how basically winning a lot of tournaments around this year. I think it's a great thing to have these girls, to have that they show us, you know, the way, you know, to win Grand Slams and everything.
Ons Jabeur is bidding to become the first African woman and the first Arab to win a Grand Slam title. She reached the final of two Grand Slam tournaments last year, the U.S. Open and Wimbledon.
It's very nice, you know, having like the attention and, you know, just you did a Grand Slam final. It's not a bad thing. It's something that it's great. And maybe sometimes I didn't see it that way, because obviously I wanted to go for the title. But again, a final is a great final. You know, it's a Grand Slam final. I just want to use that experience, use that the pressure that I felt last year to maybe do better this year. But again, you know, my first goal here is to really enjoy playing on grass and maybe recreate greater memories like last year or the year before.
Ons Jabeur will begin her 2023 Wimbledon campaign on Tuesday when she plays Poland's Magdalena Freck. Defending Wimbledon champion Elena Rybakina also begins her campaign for another trophy on Tuesday when she faces American Shelby Rogers. Rybakina was asked, what was her best memory from last year's Wimbledon?
The best memory, I think, is just the final for sure, and getting the trophy, that ceremony, and then we managed to stay maybe just 1 hour with the whole team to kind of celebrate. So, yeah, I think overall just these 2 weeks which I played and I've been here last year, it was amazing. So all the memories from that year.
Elena Rybakina comes into Wimbledon as a defending Grand Slam champion for the first time in her career. She says she does not feel pressure despite a virus hampering her preparation ahead of her title defense.
Of course, I have an allergy, and the worst for me, it's the whole May, I would say. And I take the normal, I would say, pills, like antihistaminic, like everybody else. And the virus I caught, I think, just because the immune system was weak at that period, and it was just the virus, so I couldn't take much, but the body had to recover by itself also, so it took a lot of time, yeah. I think I'm ready, and of course, a lot of good players. First round is not easy always, so I think the preparation we did is good enough, and hopefully with every match I'm going to feel better. And yeah, important just to start, and then we see how I feel. And yeah, I think if I'm going to get matches more on grass, I will feel more confident, of course.
That's Elena Rybakina, the defending Wimbledon champion in women's singles. Meanwhile, Australian star Nick Kyrgios, a 2022 finalist in men's singles, has pulled out of Wimbledon because of a wrist injury. Kyrgios was seeded 30th in the men's bracket. He's played only one match all season after beginning 2023 by withdrawing from the Australian Open because of an injured left knee. The 28-year-old Kyrgios also missed the French Open. He lost in the Wimbledon final last year to Novak Djokovic, who has won the last four editions of Wimbledon and is a heavy betting favorite to win again in 2023. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. The field is now set for Tuesday's semifinals at the CAF Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Morocco. Prince Nesta has that story, as well as a big win by the USA in the CONCACAF Gold Cup competition. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. We kick off the weekend roundup with results of the Under-23 African Cup of Nations tournament, where defending champions Egypt secured a semi-final spot after earning a 2-0 win against Gabon in a match that was played at Tangier Stadium in Morocco. Mahmoud Hassan opened the scoring in the 82nd minute before Salah Fissan sealed the win from the penalty spot. The young Pharaohs are set to face Guinea in the semi-finals, and a victory will guarantee them qualification to the finals and participation in the 2024 Paris Olympics. Mali also beat Niger 2-0 to advance to the semi-finals of the group's runners-up. Mamadou Sangare slotted in the first goal in the 49th minute before Chekna Doumbia sealed the result in a superb left-footed finish. The Malians will next take on Morocco, who kicked off their campaign with a 2-1 victory over Guinea, followed by a 5-1 win against Ghana, before finishing off with a hard-fought 1-0 win against Congo-Brazzaville. Morocco have a home-ground advantage, and the Malians will also be wary of striker Addis Ahmed Ezzalzouli, who has so far scored 3 goals in the tournament. At stake for both teams is a place in the finals and the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Moving on to the 2023 Confederation of North, Central America and Caribbean Association football, or simply CONCACAF Gold Cup matches. Colombian striker Jesus Ferreira became the first American to score international hat-tricks in consecutive games after helping the Stand the Strip secure a 6-0 win against Trinidad and Tobago. Cade Cowell, Gianluca Bush, Lucy and Brandon Vasquez also added their names on the score sheet to ensure the U.S. finished top of Group A in goal difference. The defending champions advanced to the quarterfinal scheduled to be played in Cincinnati on July 9th and will be up against Canada, Guatemala or Guadeloupe. The match goal scorer Cade Cowell expressed his thoughts on his team's performance.
It was a pretty open game and it's kind of perfect for me to get subbed in and just make runs in behind. So I thought it went well. The group is flying right now. I mean, that was our first job, was to win the group. So we got that done and now on to the knockout rounds.
U.S. interim boss B.J. Callahan also shared his thoughts in the match.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we came into this tournament. We knew that the group stage was going to be important. We stressed to the guys, we just want to get better each game, each training day. And I think we were able to do that and put in a really good performance at the end of the group stage and earn ourselves into the knockout. We don't look at it about winning group or first or second place. We're consistently just looking to improve our performances, improve at and make sure that we're always looking like ourselves and our identity, and winning it is just extra.
That's U.S. interim head coach B.J. Callahan after his team demolished Trinidad and Tobago in the CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. Meanwhile, Sunny, it was kind of a reggae party in Santa Clara, California, when the Reggae Boys of Jamaica secured a 5-0 win against St. Kitts, thanks to goals from Julani Archibald, John Russell, Deshaun Bernard, Daniel Johnson, and Corey Buck. The match goal scorer, Corey Buck, and thoughts on his team's performance.
I think we could be better, you know, it's the last game in the group, and we wanted to top the group, but the energy and the focus, I think, wasn't there for the whole 90 minutes, but nevertheless, we get the victory and score 5 goals, and also we keep a shutout. We have to just build after what we have, you know, and work hard in training, get the focus right, because now we are in the knuckle stage, and we have to be better.
Jamaican coach Jaime Halgrimson also assessed his team's performance.
Given also that we did 6 changes to our starting lineup, I think we can only be happy. Of course, we were chasing some goal difference, but I think it would have been overambitious to equal the US goals. So to be in a tournament and win 5-0, it's just a big achievement. Even though we think at times we didn't play at full tempo, but like I said, it's we shouldn't spoil it with being overambitious. But that so many came about when the goals were scored is just fun. It gives the players confidence. It gets them motivated for the next game. So everyone has put something in, and hopefully now some players will stake a claim to start the next game.
That's Jamaican head coach Jaime Halgrimson speaking after his team's outstanding victory over St. Kitts in the CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. Now, Sunny, moving on to the summer transfer window, here are a couple of household names in European soccer who are on the move this past week. Arsenal confirmed the signing of German international Kai Havertz from Chelsea for a fee believed to be around $82 million. The 24-year-old, who spent 3 years at Stamford Bridge after joining from Bayern Leverkusen, said during his first interview that he aims to win trophies at Arsenal.
I'm so glad to join this amazing club. I think, you know, this club has such a big history, and I hope we can achieve lots of things, and I'm just looking forward to meet now the players, the staff, and it's going to be exciting.
When asked why he chose 29 as his jersey number, here's what he had to say.
So I have it now for some years. I chose it when I came to the professionals in Germany, and since then it always gave me luck. When I came to the professionals, I took it because it has some history with my brother. We used to take it always when we played some video games together. So, yeah, since then I just took it. And for me, I think it's a perfect number, and I love to wear it in a red shirt again.
Havertz, who scored 19 goals in 91 Premier League appearances and also netted the winner in the 2021 Champions League finals against Manchester City, shared a sense of excitement on his new club's Champions League prospects.
I think the Champions League is a special tournament, and I think every football player just loves to play there. I was fortunate to win the trophy, and for me it was the best feeling I've ever had. So to play there again next season with Arsenal is very exciting for me. And, hopefully I can bring some good attributes into the team, hopefully to win the trophy again, because I think it's the most special trophy to win.
That's Arsenal's new signing Kai Havertz speaking in his first interview with the club after joining the North Londoners from Chelsea. Former French star of Senegalese descent Patrick Vieira has been appointed manager of French league club Strasbourg on a three-year contract, while US forward of Liberian descent Timothy Weah has also joined Juventus from Lille for an undisclosed fee. The 23-year-old, whose father George Weah is currently the president of Liberia and the winner of the Ballon d'Or in 1995, scored 8 goals in 102 appearances for the French club. He also played an influential role for the U.S. men's national team at the 2022 World Cup and scored a goal in their draw with Wales in the group stage. Another son of a footballing legend, Marcus Thuram, the French international striker and son of 1998 World Cup winner Lilian Thuram, has also joined Inter Milan on a free transfer.
Thank you, Prince Nesta, for that extra spicy package of football news.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day. In African basketball, the men's and women's national teams from Ivory Coast have qualified to represent FIBA Africa Zone 3 in two upcoming FIBA Afro tournaments. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Abidjan.
Cote d'Ivoire's national men's basketball team defeated Nigeria 74-65 to qualify for FIBA African tournament. The tournament is for home-based basketball players playing for clubs in Africa. Four teams, Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria, Guinea, and Benin, took part in the FIBA Africa Zone 3 qualifiers, which took place at the Palais des Sports in Abidjan. The finals of the African tournament will take place in Angola from July 8 to 16. Richmond Landry is a defensive player for the Cote d'Ivoire men's national team.
I can say, thank God, it wasn't easy because the team we played against was very strong. It's Nigeria. It's not a little team. So I say congratulations to everybody, to Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire, because it was a good game, a hard game. So that's all I can say. Yeah, we win. That's the most important.
Landry says the Ivorian team is optimistic of doing well at the FIBA African Finals in Angola. Ogo Daudu, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's team, says the team did not execute its game plan.
Well, we have lost. We don't have any excuses. It's a game that I think we should have won. The referees, they didn't help issues. But hey, I'm not blaming the referees. I'm solely to blame. We should have done a better job protecting the ball. And down the stretch, we didn't execute properly. So that was something that really affected us.
Cote d'Ivoire and Guinea were the only women teams that played for the FIBA Women's Afro Basket Qualifier in Zone 3. Cote d'Ivoire defeated Guinea twice to qualify for the final of the FIBA Women's Afro Basket Tournament. Jefaiwa Jawara is a member of the Ivorian Women's National Basketball Team.
It's not easy for the young players, the girls, but we are trying to work hard. We are come too strong. We prepare small. We don't have the time again to go, but we are start strong now after this first turn.
12 teams will take part in the 27th edition of FIBA Women's AfroBasket, scheduled for Kigali, Rwanda, from July 28 to August 3. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire.
Thanks, Iron Mike. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the High Energy July 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Now we have a story about a youth football academy in Burtonsville, Maryland. That's about 40 kilometers north of our VOA headquarters here in Washington. The academy was founded by a Togolese immigrant, and it's helping teach children both on and off the pitch. VOA's Arzuma Kampore tells us more from Burtonsville.
The players of the Elite Soccer Youth Development Academy, or EZIDA, are taking the pitch with enthusiasm. Their passion for the game creates an atmosphere filled with energy and excitement.
When I play soccer, and I score goals, it makes me get trophies. Mm-hmm. And they clap for me.
Emmanuel is not the only student who wants to win, but this academy is about more than just trophies and goals. It's a platform for instilling discipline, creating lasting friendships, and fostering an openness that goes beyond the soccer field, says Emmanuel's father, Joel Wenyigro.
We are following the direction of the coaches and organizers here. No violence, fair play. The spirit that we see should also be reflected in their future so that we can have a more unified society where there is security, harmony, and all will prosper.
As an immigrant from Togo, Coach Agbenyan Amusu, known for his nickname Fofo, started the academy 20 years ago. Amusu says his professional soccer background and unwavering commitment to youth development won the community over.
When I started ECDA 20 years ago, I faced skepticism and was called lazy. But as we studied the field and realized that soccer could be an instrument to combat poverty, delinquency, and substance abuse, perceptions began to change.
Okay, go back. Enlisted. Thank
you.
Good try.
Amuzu's impact has spanned three generations of students. He says former academy students, now adults with families and careers, return every summer to help their former coaches.
On peut jouer le ballon et ne pas gagner des millions,
Playing soccer may not guarantee millions, but it has the power to make a significant difference, changing an entire nation or community. That's what drives me. Sharing, family, children, and the well-being of others. That's what soccer has given me.
As anticipation builds towards the 2026 World Cup, the Academy continues to train future soccer players, embodying the belief that the sport is not just about competition, but also about personal growth and community building. Orzuma Compaoré for VOA News, Burtonville, Maryland.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Auto racing, New Zealand driver Shane Van Gisbergen won his NASCAR Cup Series debut on a rainy Sunday in downtown Chicago. It was the first street race in the NASCAR Series. Talk to us, Shane.
It was tough. Qualifying yesterday was intense, and the racing, the battles were really fun, but everyone was respectful and clean, and it was really cool.
The race was scheduled for 100 laps and 220 miles, but it was shortened because of fading sunlight after the start was delayed for more than 90 minutes because of a historic rainfall that flooded the Chicago course. The weather eventually cleared, but there were puddles on the course when the race began. Race winner Van Gisbergen battled back and forth near the end with runner-up Justin Haley.
Shane was better. I mean, he had 16 or something lap better tires. Just a world-class racer. He was very calculated, very precise.
Major League Baseball, an elite do-it-all Japanese player, continues to earn more accolades, as we hear now from the AP's Bruce Morton.
Shohei Ohtani remains in a class by himself. For the third straight year, the Angels standout was named Sunday to the American League All-Star team as a pitcher and an outfielder. Meanwhile, eight members of the Braves were selected for the National League squad. Speaking of the Braves, Atlanta owns the best record in the bigs at 56-27 after defeating the Marlins 6-3 to complete a three-game sweep. In St. Louis, the Cardinals beat the Yankees 5-1. For Redbirds starter Jordan Montgomery, that's four straight wins.
The competitor in you, once you got the ball, it's just about winning in the moment. So every 5 days, I'm going out there and trying to be as good as I expect to be.
Others in the National League win column were the Nationals, Brewers, Reds, and Mets. Over in the junior circuit, the Astros won at Texas 5-3 to pull to within four games of the division-leading Rangers. In Anaheim, the Angels got the best of Arizona 5-2. Right fielder Mickey Moniak said it was nice to end a four-game skid by topping All-Star pitcher Zach Gallen.
It's baseball. Four-game skids are going to happen, but to be able to cut it off right there and be a good pitcher like Gallen is huge, and we're just kind of ride the momentum into the next series.
Seattle came back from a four-run deficit to edge Tampa Bay 7-6. M's catcher Tom Murphy said this was a much-needed victory.
For us to stay in that ball game and come back and win it is a huge, huge step forward for us.
The rest of those in the American League W column were the Orioles, Red Sox, Royals, Tigers, White Sox, and Guardians. Pro basketball Domantas Sabonis says it's good to be a king. He passed up free agency to agree to a four-year contract extension with Sacramento. Bruce Morton.
And that wraps up the July 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.